Thank you, Brother Epley. I agree with that song completely. I believe in you ought to be a member of a good Bible-believing church, but that won't get you to heaven. You got to know Jesus for real. Amen. Appreciate the good message and song. As I already said, it's so good to have these folks with us. Well, our thoughts this morning, we turned a little bit toward Thanksgiving. I want you to go to the book of Colossians chapter 3. You know, sometimes I'm guilty of it. We know we only on a short few minutes, especially on Sunday morning. And I know I'm talking to a lot of folks that can sit down and watch TV for an hour, 2 hours, and 3 hours, but they can't stand a sermon that's more than 30 minutes. So I try to pack as much in it as I can. And sometimes I feel a little guilty that I don't read enough verses, and yet I realize that if you don't explain them, that don't do a lot of good either sometimes. We ought to be Bible believers and Bible readers. And I hope you'll open your Bible and look at it. I'm talking to you as saved. Now, if you're not saved, I wasn't addressing you in particular, but if you brought your Bible, look at Colossians chapter 3. Now, you got to find it. If you get to Philippians, go to your right. And if you get over there in 1 Thessalonians, go back to your left, chapter 3 of Colossians. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Then he says to the believer, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Boy, it'll be a big victory in our lives when we can die to self. You know that? And understand the truth of what I just read there. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And boy, we believe that's going to be soon. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. That's before you were saved that you walked in those things. But it'd be dead to them now. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, is a Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Boy, that verse you ought to mark, verse 13. As a pastor, I'm still amazed how many times Christian people don't get along with each other. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectiveness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and watch this, says, and be ye thankful. Then down in verse 17, it comes up with the statement again, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now I'm going to go get on the Thanksgiving theme here just a little bit this morning. Thanksgiving Day, designated holiday, only comes around once, but boy, we ought to practice it all year long. Amen. We certainly, there's a lot about Thanksgiving in the Bible. And the Bible tells us, you know, to give thanks for all things. And that's pretty hard sometimes, but it's possible. I think about the little boy in the classroom, and the teacher told him it was getting close to Thanksgiving, said, I want everybody to stand up and give me one thing you're thankful for. And different ones were standing up, and it was getting closer to him and closer to him. He didn't know what he was going to say, and he was little scared. But finally, it come his time to stand up, and he had on glasses, and he said, "Oh, me," and then he said, "Oh, I'm thankful for my glasses." He said, "It keeps the boys from hitting me and the girls from kissing me." You'd always find something to be thankful for. Amen. I think about the way we've raised our kids. I fear today they've lost that to a great degree of being thankful. Take it for granted. You know, just whatever you want, then get it, so to speak. Lady was with her little daughter in the shopping in the store, and the store manager was talking to him, and he reached over and got a popsicle and gave it to the little girl, and the little girl just standing there looking at him. And so the mother said, "What do you say to the good man?" She wanted the little daughter to say thank you. You know, you have to be taught to say thank you. That's against your nature. We have to teach our kids. We don't have to teach them to be selfish. That comes automatic. It's just born in, right? So she said, "What do you say to the good man?" And she looked and said, "Charge it." That's the way we've raised them today, I fear. But ingratitude is part of our nature, while gratitude isn't. You don't have to teach a duck to swim, do you? Be pretty silly if you saw somebody trying to get this duck to swim. No, that's the duck's nature. You know, our nature is to be ungrateful. And we have to raise our kids to say thank you and to say please and all of that, because we're going against the old fallen nature of mankind. That is true. No wonder the Lord said in the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet." We just want to grab, and the Bear commercial said, "Grab all the gusto you can," you know. I don't know where it was, Budweiser or Bud Dumber or whichever one of those it was, but that's the philosophy of the world. It shouldn't be the philosophy of us believers that know the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful. I think it was John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress. He said one of the most dangerous pieces of road on the way to the celestial city was a place that was called Forgetful Green. Forget our blessings. That's a dangerous place to be in. We're seeing that in the streets, aren't we? After the election, out there in the streets. That's why it's snowing up north. You know that, don't you? I asked for that. I thought that was the best way to break that mess up. Well, anyway, there's a bunch of spoiled babies. Cry babies in the street. Did you actually see it? It was reported on the news that they were bringing in, opening up rooms for them to relieve their stress, and giving them Play-Doh to play with and serving them hot chocolate. Hey, that was in the news. They're so stressed out. Now, some of them got so stressed out, the only way they could relieve it was take a ball bat and break somebody else's car windows out. I could have relieved some stress on a couple like that, but it wouldn't have been the car windows I was using the bat on, amen? But the truth of the matter is, as we think about Thanksgiving, and I hope you know the history of it. I mean the true history of it. I mean, I hope you understand that when Governor Bradford said, "Let's put on a spread," he was trying to show what God had given. He was putting his finger on the positive and thanking God instead of looking at what they didn't have. He was looking at what they did have, and that ought to still be our attitude today. And so Thanksgiving kind of become a national holiday as it passed from one president to the other and making a rule. But in the public curriculum in the schools, some of the schools have taught the kids they were not thanking God, they were thanking the Indians. I mean, I believe God could use the Indians to teach them to grow corn and all that stuff you remember in true history. Sure, that had to be of God. But I look around today and I think that thankfulness is an attitude that you've got to choose. You hear me? Not automatic, not like a duck knows how to swim naturally. We have to choose if we're going to be thankful people. We have to make that a choice. It's a personality choice that we make. Now, somebody said the word thankful comes from the old English word, thankful. In other words, Think about the glass being half full instead of half empty. Take a look at what the blessings are, and folks, that'll do a lot of good for us. I'll just say to you this morning, let's think about it a little bit. Let's think full just a little bit. To begin with, I'm thankful to God for his care on me in the past. God gives us a mind that can look back on the past and also at the present and surmise even for the future. And as I think back on God's care for me in the past, I'm glad he loved me while I was yet a sinner. I read in the text here how that we used to be into those things. Before we got saved, before we became dead to them, we used to practice that very laundry list that Paul gave the church at Colossae here. And I think back and think, God, how could you love me as a sinner? Yet I know he protected me until I had a chance to hear the good news that I could be saved. Man, never heard anything better than that. And couldn't hardly believe it. When I was 12 years old, now mother, our family didn't go to church, no bus route in this town. I was raised in this town. I went to church once or twice at Vacation Bible School, and that was all. Didn't know anything about it. But I used to hear mother say, when she'd be fussing at me and my mean brother, she'd be fussing, and she'd say, boy, your sins are on me now, but when you get to 12 years old, God's going to get you. Your sins are going to be on you. I dreaded that 12th birthday like crazy. I feared it. Right here behind the old hotel that is our college and radio station building, there's a couple of houses back there. One of those houses, we lived in one side of it. I can take you right where my bed was in that room. And I remember laying awake that night because I was going to be 12 the next day. I feared it. I mean, the next day I got up, Brother Epley, I tried to be good. I got up and said, this is it, fun's over. Gotta get right now. And I tried to live a perfect day. But you know what? Before I went to bed that night, I knew something in my heart. I had blown it. I had not made it, that I could not do it. But I'm glad that God still was looking after me when I didn't know he was. I mean, I'm glad he loved me while I was yet a sinner, when I had no way to pay for my sins. And when I went into church, and you'll hear us this morning, I'll conclude the message, and I'll give an invitation for you to come and be saved. And most likely today, we'll sing that song, Just As I Am, without one plea. And when I sat in the church and heard the gospel and heard that song, that sounded too good to be true. Just as I am without one plea, my, just as I am, Lord. You see, the difference in the Lord is he knows all about me. I can fool a few folks, but never fool him for a minute. And in my heart, I knew he knew. And how could he love me and say I could come to him just as I am? Man, that was something to hear. The Holy Spirit began to convict. I had a Holy Spirit conviction before. Just remember all the sins I confess to you, they're on the blood. Here's one. I'd gotten a bad fight. We boys, you know, we were bad to go to the next town, and the boys in the next town didn't like it for us to come see the girls in the next town, and we didn't like it when they came to our town and all that stuff. Well, one night, my side of the story is I got beat up by several, and the police got there and broke it up, and I was getting the worst of it. I was glad to see them. But I had to go to court. I had a court hearing. Here I was, 18 years old, fixing to start a record. Anyway, one of the girls I was dating, her dad was a judge. The judge I was going to have to go before. Well, I'd found that out, and I found out he went to the First Baptist Church of Auburndale, Florida, right over here. And I shocked that girl by saying, could I go to church with you Sunday morning? As she got over being shocked, she said, well, yeah. And I went and I sat, making sure that man, her daddy in the choir, could see me, the judge. Yeah, that's the only reason I was there. I don't know a thing much the preacher said. But I do know this happened. Crowd wasn't as big as even this one this morning, but I was sitting back there and I saw a man come walking down the aisle at the invitation. He's the only one I saw walking down the aisle. He come down the aisle. I knew something when he passed by. I knew he was an alcoholic, a drunk, because I could tell by his looks. And he was pretty weak. He was coming down. And then he took the preacher by the hand, and the preacher told the congregation, so-and-so has gotten saved. And conviction hit me. What he really said was this man, he called his name, has taken Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I didn't know what that meant, but there was conviction in me that that's probably what I ought to be doing. Now, it was a long time after that before I was in a church and heard the gospel and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But I remember God put that conviction on me. And one day, to understand the gospel that Jesus Christ paid my sin debt was the best news I ever heard. I'm thankful for God caring for me in the past. Speaking of judges, I came back to this city as a pastor. Been here 45 years now. And I went down to the barber shop to get my hair cut. I do still do that once in a while. And there was a fellow sitting in the chair with, you know how they cover you up, sitting in the chair. And I got to notice, and he was looking at me. I'm sitting there waiting. And directly I met his eye, and he nodded his head, and I nodded my head back. And then I realized who it was. That was a city judge that I had stood before a few times when I was young. Not the one I was telling about, but it's one I got in trouble for speeding around this town, spinning my wheels and doing all those things. And I'd come before him, and he'd give me a good tongue lashing and a small fine and all that. But I remember when the Barbara pulled the sheet off of me, he stood up, he looked at me, and he said, "Mickey, I'm so proud of you." Being a pastor, I know what he was thinking. How in the world did that happen? I'll tell you how. God cared for me in my past. And he cared for me long enough to get through, to hear the gospel and get saved. That's what it was. I'm thankful to God for his care in the past. I'm thankful to him for his forgiveness in the present. You say you still need forgiveness? Sure do. Sure do. You say, "Well, I don't." Well, let me talk to you why. I'd rather take it from her. Amen. The truth is, all of us still need forgiveness, don't we? And isn't it wonderful that Jesus is right there ready to forgive us? That's not a license to sin, but when we do, the Bible says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our attorney before the judge that says, "Okay, I've already paid for that." He shouldn't have done it. He's repented of it. He's turning from now, judge, it's under the blood. Amen. Bless God, that's what we have in Jesus. Amen. I mean, that's his forgiveness in the prayer. Hey, we all need it. All need it. Somebody said if the Pope was married, he'd know he wasn't perfect too. Amen. I expect he knows it anyhow, don't you? I expect the Holy Spirit's already told him that. But you know, it is possible to live right because you walk with Jesus. We will slip up some. We will think wrong. We will say wrong. We will do wrong sometime. But I tell you what, a policeman inside called the Holy Spirit will let you know quick. And as the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, keep short accounts with God. In other words, pay up. Don't let it build up and build up and build up. When the Holy Spirit says you're wrong, then say, "Yes, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of that." And that's what Jesus will do. That's what he will do. He'll forgive you. Listen, it is possible. Young people, listen to me a minute. It is possible to live more right than a lot of folks are living today. It is not a necessity that you sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's what the scripture says. But listen, sin is a possibility, but it is not required of you to sin just to prove it. And the less you do, the more you walk with God, the more victory you're going to have now, and there'll be a whole lot less to reap for in the future. In fact, last week, I guess I had my ear all bandaged up. Don't look as bad as I thought it would look, especially from the back row, but anyway. You know why I had to have that ear worked on? Too much Florida sunshine. I didn't think about it when I was 15, 18. But I'll tell you what, I'm paying for it now. And several of you and I both, are keeping the doctor's car payments up for him. Because we're paying for what we soaked up in the sunshine long years ago and various things. We sow it and reap it still happens to this flesh, no matter after you do get saved. The scars from way back, you're going to pay for later. And it's just too bad. It is true that we can't get our young folks to learn how to miss some of those things. Do them more right now instead of paying for them later. What a wonderful thing when young people can say, Daddy said don't do that. He went down that road and there was a bad bump and a bad hole, so I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to dodge it. But instead, isn't it amazing how folks have to find out for themselves? Have you ever walked up to a door or a building and the sign said, wet paint? Got to poke it anyway? Yeah, sure is wet. Strange, isn't it, the way we are about that? But that's the way we are. But it's a whole lot better if you take God's word for it. If you don't take daddy's and you don't take mama's, you don't take brothers that said don't go that way, take God's. Save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of scar, a lot of pain that's going to come later. I mean, it is possible to live right, and it'll pay off. You can trust God. The psalmist, Psalms 37, says, I have been young, now I'm old, and I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what he's saying? He's saying God is right. God will take care of you. You can trust him from the time you're young to the time you're old. And many of us could give testimony in this building today how righteous God is, how he's blessed us, how he's protected us, how he's forgiven us, how he's sustained us through the hard times. And we give him praise for that because we thank God for his forgiveness in the present. And then I thank God for his provision for the future. You know, most folks worry over the future. Somehow they got through yesterday. Somehow they're making it today. But their fear is for tomorrow. That's natural to us. But God's made provision for the future. That's what he says. You know, we worry about a lot of things that never come around. I saw where a lot of folks really worrying about this election. Now, I preferred it turning out like it did instead of the other way. However, I'm trusting God and his word, not the politicians. But I've noticed a pile of them rushing to get some things done before the new president steps in the office. They're rushing to bring in the new environmental rules. Pretty soon they're going to have a gauge on your windpipe, measure how much air you breathe. They're rushing to get in new rules. I hope the new president could just wipe a bunch of them out. That's what I hope. There's a lot of them rushing now to get in the borders. I don't know if the border guards are going to be able to take any holidays off or not because the mob is coming now. We got to get in. The gate's about to shut. The wall's about to be built, which I hope it is. But anyway, the truth is worrying about what's going to happen. What's going to happen? But you and I that are saved, we got some inside track. We got some inside promises. God's promised to provide for us. He may not give us all we want, but maybe he'll change our want to fit what he will give us. And that's the way we ought to look at that thing. The promises of God, he says that he'll supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. Need, not wants, but need. People are concerned about what's going to happen here and what's going to happen there. You say, well, what's the worst thing could happen? I don't know. Best thing could happen is instead of going in a hole in the ground, we go in a hole in the sky. The rapture takes place. Jesus comes. Man, that'd be all right with me. Listen, I'd get a new body. Wife, you'd get a new husband if he's saved. and vice versa. You can't fuss about that. You know, Philippians 3:21 over there says, who shall change our vile body? I don't care how pretty you think you are, you got a vile body. Whether you know it or not, you just let the breath go out of it and watch it about 4 days. You'll see how vile it is. That's what we're walking around in, is vile bodies. Except for the spirit and life that God has given us, this thing would corrupt in a little while. Not much to it. It's a vile body, it says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I don't understand all it will be. I know a lot about this one because it's let me down a lot. It's got a lot of problems. I don't know much about the one I got waiting, but it's going to be better than this. Change to his glorious body. That's a promise of God for the future. For the future. You know, get a new body. Change our vile body. That's what you have when you have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I came in that church I mentioned a while ago and heard just as I am without one plea what a revolutionary thought that was, that God Almighty had made a way to accept a sinner like me. Well, that's what the gospel is. Jesus Christ loved us and died for us and paid a price we couldn't pay. And when we come to him, we get saved and our sins of the past get paid for, the present and even the future, to the place, brother, we as the slate is wiped clean, we're justified as though we never sinned. Can you, man, that's hard to believe, but that's what we have in Jesus, God's Son, that came from heaven's glory and died on the cross and shed his blood, that when I receive him, then I'm hid, this text said, hid with God in him. That means when I would step up to the judgment, all God could see is his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he paid for every bad thought I ever had, every evil word I ever said, every wrong deed I ever done, he paid it all. All to him, the song says, we owe. He paid it all. Didn't give us a down payment and tell us if you go to church enough to keep up your payments, you'll make it. No, no. I'm for going to church, but that don't pay for your salvation. Didn't give us the down payment and a payment book. He paid it all. Paid it all. Isn't that wonderful? That's the truth. That is the truth. Jesus is our answer. He's the door to our liberty, both now and forever. And he'll give you and I an attitude that even other folks will see we're different. We're changed. We can get rid of some things that we can't get rid of on our own when we let the Lord Jesus Christ in to control us. Amen. To receive Christ as your Savior is to get free from the guilt of sin, free from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell forever. Yes, that's what you have in him. Nothing else. No one else. No religious system, only Jesus Christ can give you that. And give you that peace we read about there in the scripture, a peace of God. And when you get that, I believe you have to once in a while take a little inventory and be thankful. Just count your blessings. See what you have in Jesus Christ. I guess it was this week or a few days ago or somewhere. Don't even know where I read it. But all the terrorists that's going on, terrorism in the world, all the terrorists, they're doing horrible things. That religion has done horrible things to people through the years. It's a religion of the sword and the chopping off of heads. But we've got communication today like we've never had, so we hear it more. Where they go in and take whole villages, and many of them professing Christian villages, and take them out and chop off their heads and put them in a mass grave. That's going on. I mean, even from the young kids on up. And I read this week about a fellow, I can't call his name, it's one of those names I couldn't pronounce, but he was a leader of one of those terrorist groups. And even from a time he was an older teenager on, he'd lead a group of men into a village. and murder the whole village, chop off heads, enslave girls and women. Horrible things. He was doing that. He was right into that. He got a little older and somehow quit doing it. But his testimony was, I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I couldn't smile. He said, the guilt was on me so hard. He said, I knew there was a God somewhere, and one day I was going to face him, and no matter what they told me, he said, I just couldn't live with myself. He said, I was a dead man walking. That was his testimony. And of all things, he heard some of the American broadcast and began to hear somebody with the gospel of Jesus Christ over the airwaves. And he said, when I began to hear the preacher say, God can forgive all sin. God will forgive all sin. He said, I could not believe it. He said, I wanted it so bad, but I didn't see how in the world God could ever forgive me. He said, I expected hell forever with the guilt that was upon me for what I had done. But to make the long story short, he actually went and located one of those that was preaching on the air. And he really got saved. He could get back to where he could eat and drink and sleep and do all those things. And just, he said, it is just so hard to believe God could have paid the price for all those sins and murders and things that I had done. And all that guilt, that Jesus could take it away. But he said, I'm free today and trying to reach others. I want to tell you, that's the power of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the scripture says. If you're here today, you say, preacher, you don't know my life. No, and I don't want to know, but God knows. And Jesus knows. And he had you in mind when he died for you on the cross of Calvary. And the only difference is whether or not you're going to accept him and let him pay for those sins that you can't pay for, or one day you're going to spend eternity in hell and never pay for one of them. It's a serious thing I'm talking to you about today. But on the authority of God's word, I can tell you that Jesus will save you, forgive you. He said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Boy, what a promise. The song says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's what happens when you come to receive Christ. That passed under the blood. Ought to be thankful that God let you live through the past, to where you're alive right now in the present and can hear the good news that Jesus will save you. And if you'll accept him, your future's taken care of. Boy, that's the greatest provision for the future you'll ever get, is your name written in heaven. Knowing if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Boy, that brings a peace. I mean a peace that you can't explain. Scripture says a peace that passeth all understanding. Man can't reason it out. Man had no program to reach and take that terrorist and give him peace, but Jesus even died for his awful sins as well as mine and yours. Do you have that peace of God in your heart today? This Thanksgiving season, can you thank God that Jesus is your Savior? And your name is written down in heaven. I hope you can. Let's bow our heads, please. I want to ask you a question with our heads bowed. How many of you can say, preacher, I am saved. I know it. I know my sins are under the blood. Jesus died for me, and I've accepted him as my Savior. Can you say that by the uplifted hand across the building? So many, so many. Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here and you'd say, preacher, I need to be saved. When you pray, have me in mind. Listen, I won't embarrass you, I won't come to you, but would you lift that hand while heads are bowed? I'm looking, God's looking. Would you lift that hand? I'd like to have you in mind as I pray. All right, thank you, thank you. Father, we do come to you in prayer, and I pray for these that lifted their hands that they need to receive Christ. I pray for them right this moment, Father, to obey your will and your call and step out and come and receive Christ this morning. I thank you, Father, on behalf of all of us that's saved. We just, Lord, it still amazes me that it could all be forgiven in Christ, but I thank you that it is. The past, the present, the future, all taken care of. I'm thankful for that, Father. I pray for this moment here in your house, your building. Your gospel has been declared. It's your invitation, Father, I offer to these that would come and receive Christ today. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to their heart and your Holy Spirit would draw them. Maybe somebody else needs to come for another reason, but especially I pray for those that need Christ this